In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus did not live for himself. Though he is the eternal God, he did not do whatever he wanted to do, but he sought his Father's will. He loves man. But first and foremost, he loves his Father. So he would not turn away from his Father. That is why there is destruction on our Lord's lap. The Father has appointed Jesus to be the sole source of salvation. And Jesus will not turn away from that way. So if a sinner rejects God's way, Christ's love gives way to eternal wrath. He must be true to his Father. His eyes were ever on his Father so that he might be the obedient Son who reveals the Father to a sinful world. St. Paul writes, "The head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." Lest you become obsessed with the roles of men and women and why God has appointed some to be above others, recall that Christ submitted to God. He received all authority from the Father, and he used that authority not to pursue his own interests, but to pursue the will of the Father. He sought not his own comforts, but he sought the glory of the Father. He was not concerned about what would bring him the most praise and attention and honor. And he was concerned with what would glorify his Father. And so he would not jump from the temple. He did not perform miracles to attract a crowd. How many times did he tell the crowds after a miracle not to tell anyone what he had just done? He had come to glorify the Father alone. He was always the obedient Son of the Father, but now he learned obedience in a new way, as a man, in suffering, in pain, and in death. He emptied himself of his glory and was found to be a man. He lived like a man. He suffered like a man. He prayed like a man. He obeyed like a man to do what we could not. He learned obedience by what he suffered. So he offered prayers and loud cries to his Father. His prayers were not the quiet meditation of a Buddhist monk, but the loud wrestling with God, like Jacob. Do not think that Gethsemane was his only anguished prayer. His whole ministry is a prayerful priestly service, and in the process he learned reverent submission to God. The Jews could find no error in him. They could not pull someone from his past to accuse him of any wrongdoing. He is the man whom Adam was meant to be and who we were meant to be. He remained humble and obedient and submissive to his Father in all things, meditating on his word, shunning evil. And so when the Father anointed him in the waters of baptism, he sent him to reveal the Father by his words and actions. He was to be a light in this darkened world, to restore creation, to drive out demons, to drive out sickness, to drive out suffering, to drive out pain, to drive out ailments, to drive out death. And through that work, the Father is revealed as love. The Father is the one who vested him with the authority to forgive sins and heal the lame. And so the Son would not break a bruised reed, neither would he quench a smoldering wick. For the Father sought to restore his lost creatures to himself through his Son. The will of the Father is the salvation of man. So the Son revealed a Father who is not bent on destruction, but on salvation, who is just and yet the justifier, who kills but who raises to life, a Father who casts out devils and who restores creation, a Father who will not forsake the lost, but will save them through his Son. So the glory of the God the Father is the salvation of man. In anguish, he prayed for another way, but he submitted to the will of his God and Father. And so a band of soldiers would not deter him, neither could slaps or spitting, neither could the might of Rome or the flogging deter him from the path his Father had sent out. Silently, he follows the Father, going to Mount Moriah, now called Calvary, bearing the wood. He gave Abraham a ram as a substitute, but he knows that he is the substitute for the world, crowned with thorns. His hour had come to be glorified. His hour had come to glorify the Father as he hangs in hell, spills his blood, and labors underneath your sins as a worm and not a man. And thus there is no greater glory. For by the sacrifice of his Son, the Father is revealed as love, as gracious, as merciful, as forgiving toward immoral, wicked, self-obsessed sinners. And that is what the Son wants you to see. But we dare not think that the Father is concerned only about himself. The Father loves the Son, and he seeks to glorify his Son. And so he appointed his Son to be our Savior. Salvation is found in no one else. It's rooted in Christ. The Father has made Christ the very source of salvation. And so he glorifies the Son, not by the miracles that he performed, but he glorifies the Son by spilling his blood. For like the Father's glory, the Son's glory is found in his great love for sinners. Three times the voice thundered from heaven. Twice it said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I love," and once it declared his glory by the cross. So it is Christ who is our righteousness. Not according to his divine nature, but it is Christ who is our righteousness according to what he has accomplished as a man. For it is not the Father who died, but it is the Son. It is not the Spirit who gave up his life, but it is the Son. Salvation and righteousness is found in the Son of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and in him alone. And the Father glorified him yet again by raising him up from the dead, proving that Jesus has done all that the Father has asked him to do. He was the faithful Son, the faithful man in all things. He kept the law in pure obedience. He glorified the Father by his death, and now he lives to spread that glory to the ends of the earth in preaching and baptizing. And so we see that the Father is glorified in the Son, not apart from him. And the Son is glorified in the Father, not apart from him. And do not forget the Holy Spirit, who glorifies both Son and Father by taking what Christ has done and giving it to you. But it is there at the cross where the Trinity finds its great glory. For there he is revealed as our loving God, the Savior of sinners, the Father who sends his Son and willingly gives him up, even as Abraham willingly gave up his Son. The Son who willingly dies and sheds his blood, even as Isaac was willing to die and to shed his blood. And the Holy Spirit who reveals the Son to us. We are not worthy of this great love. And that is why we veil the images during these last two Sundays in Lent known as Passion Tide. That is also why we are not worthy to see him. That is also why we omit the glory be to the Father. We are not worthy to speak the name of our God. We are sinful and fallen. And yet it is for us weak, sinful creatures that the Father has sent his Son. The Lord knows how great your sins are, so glorify him by confessing your sins. It dishonors God when you ignore your sin because you have deemed it unimportant, insignificant, can't condemn you. It disgraces him when you claim that other people are more evil than you are because of what they have done. But did Christ waste his blood for some tiny, insignificant sin that could not condemn you? Is the love of Christ only able to save the bad sinners and not the worst of the worst? I don't think so. And I don't believe that you think so either. So let us not live like it. Rather, confess your sins and plead for his mercy, for he is slow to anger and abounding in love. He is quick to forgive. Glorify the Father by letting him be who he is, your loving Father who sent his Son to redeem you. glorify the Son by confessing him to be who he is, the one who shed his blood to take away all your sins, the great sins and the insignificant sins. Glorify the Spirit by believing his testimony concerning Christ. Remember, the Son loves the Father more than he loves you, which means if you persist in your sin, if you refuse to confess your sinful thoughts, words, or actions, if you hold on to them and view them as not a big deal, then you will be cut off from the love of God, for Jesus must be true to his Father. But if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive you all your sins and take away your guilt. The glory of God is not found in God simply being God, able to do whatever he wants. But the glory of God is found in his great love for sinners. That he alone, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has redeemed us through the blood of his Son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.